Breakfast on RN. Edwina Farley with you. Our foreign investment theme continues this week, but we're taking a look across the Tasman, where it's as big a hot potato for New Zealand.
It really has come to the fore, I think, as the dairy industry in New Zealand really boomed. And we did have a boom. And there's been a lot of foreign investment, but we've also had, as you've had here, Chinese investment. And Chinese investment, not just in farmland and processing, but also in residential property in Auckland, which is going through the roof, as I understand it, is around here as well.
It's the issue we can't get enough of, and you can bet it will be part of the federal election conversation. Brett Worthington's with me to talk about the news, and first item on the agenda, Brett, is foreign investment.
It's one that came out of the blue, Edwina. We thought this week was going to be all about road safety rules and tribunals with the trucking industry and what that would mean for minimum pay, and then all out of a sudden, the owners of the S. Kidman & Co. cattle empire announced that they'd had a preferred bidder to take over the business.
And so, this is the second preferred bidder.
That's right. So last year, the Treasurer intervened and he blocked the foreign takeover. It was a Chinese-led company that was keen to buy the Kidman empire. The reason that the Treasurer blocked it back then was he said there were national security concerns because the biggest station, Anna Creek, is right near the Woomera Protected Area. It's a defence space in South Australia. And so he said that foreign owners buying that cattle station, he felt was inappropriate and blocked it. So now fast forward to this week, and you've had S. Kidman & Co. come out and say, we've got our new bidders. Same, but different to an extent.
Yes.
So the majors, it's a Chinese-Australian-led consortium, and 80% would go to this Chinese consortium, Dakang Australia. Their major stakeholder was the company that was bidding for it last time. It gets a little bit confusing.
It does. So the initial bidder that was knocked back is still involved in this new deal, but at an arm's length.
That's right. And so then you've also now got this Australian Rural Capital, which would retain a 20% stake in the Kidman properties. What happens now is you need a Foreign Investment Review Board and the Treasurer's approval for this to go forward. Part of the reason it's come back up now is that Anna Creek station that we were talking about has been annexed off, and that will be sold separately. So the reaction has been heavily political so far. The Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says that all foreign investment needs to be in the national interest. The Treasurer, though, he'll play a key role, and he's saying that decision won't happen before the looming federal election.
I have today instructed Treasury to put in place an independent and external review of the sale and tender process in relation to Kidman, because I want to be absolutely confident when I finally consider this matter that Australians have had every opportunity to be participating in that process.
And of course, we're sort of assuming that it will be Scott Morrison overseeing all of that process, but the actual decision doesn't have to be made until after the expected federal election date.
That's right. And so the opposition leader, Bill Shorten's, come out and had his say. He says, to quote him, he says, uneasy is the word he was using about the idea of putting everything up for sale for foreign buyers. He told commercial radio this week that there are good flow-ons that come from foreign investment, but it all has to be in the national interest.
With this deal, we want the government to brief us on all of it. We don't know the whole deal, but I have a general reservation about just putting everything up on the market to sell everything. It makes me feel uneasy.
The interesting thing in the lead-up to the election, which the Conservative side of politics won, was that there was this proposed foreign takeover of GrainCorp, which was Australia's largest listed agribusiness, a big grain handling company. And leading up to the election, the Nationals really spoke adamantly about how they were against the foreign takeover. Ultimately, the Treasurer at the time, Joe Hockey, blocked that bid. And I think there's a lot of people now sitting there watching this time around because the Nationals, as we'll hear shortly from their leader in Barnaby Joyce, aren't as keen to offload a lot of these agricultural assets to foreign owners. The Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce, is also the Agricultural Minister, and he says he's made his thoughts pretty clear on his thought on foreign investment.
Well, I don't have to declare my position because I already have. My preference always is for the Australian asset to be owned by mums and dads of Australia. But the decision is not mine to make. It's made by the Foreign Investment Review Board and the Treasurer, and it's a non-appellant decision. That means you can't challenge it.
So what about the crossbenchers? I mean, they're important at the moment in Parliament, but, you know, with this decision not having to be made for quite some time and possibly post-federal election, I suppose, how significant are their views? It seems rather harsh of me, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I guess what the issue is, the Empire reaches across so many states, and Anna Creek in South Australia attracts a lot of the attention, but it does have a big role to play in Queensland. And the Queensland Senator Glenn Lazarus says he wants the Prime Minister and the Treasurer to intervene and prevent any foreign company from buying Outback cattle stations. And not only that, he wants the Treasurer and the Prime Minister to come out and declare their hand before the election. He wants this to be an election issue.
The people of Australia have had enough. They are very concerned about the future of their children and their grandchildren when it comes to jobs and the ability to own their own piece of land and work that land. So I'm calling on Malcolm Turnbull and Scott Morrison to show your hand.
So if we just step back a bit, I mean, when we're sort of describing how big and how significant a property this is, how would you paint that picture for people?
It's huge, is the way I'd say it. So it's a family-owned, S. Kidman & Co., and at the moment you've got the owners that are spread out around the country, and they also have some owners overseas in the UK. And
yeah, speaking of foreign investment.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And so their properties cover 101,000 square kilometres. So we're talking, it goes across Western Australia, it's in South Australia, the NT, Queensland. The best headline I think I saw from the week was Chinese investors want to buy 1.3% of Australia, and that's what it takes up. So it is, we're not talking about the whole country is being sold up in this deal, but it's a big property and it reaches through a lot of land that you wouldn't otherwise farm. It's big grazing country in the Territory and in South Australia. Mayors in Western Queensland and neighbours in Western Queensland have expressed cautious optimism. They're essentially saying that they feel that it shows the positive signs that are there in the beef sector going forward, which is what largely this property will be used for. Although they are closely watching it, the consortium looking to buy it has said that they're going to, I think it's 50 jobs, create 50 jobs in outback regional communities from this deal. In terms of South Australia and Anna Creek, it's been a mixed review. James Euster, one of our reporters out there, went out and spoke to a whole range of graziers to get their thought on the deal. If the deal goes through, that's the Foreign Investment Review Board approves it, Anna Creek will then be sold, and it's likely that the neighbour, the Williams Cattle Company, will take over. The spokesman, Wayne Williams, says the land would become a key asset in growing their family business.
We've got good young people coming up in our system. We've got sons that are very switched on and energetic, and we want to be able to expand to give them the chance to grow. And we've got very good staff coming up through our ranks. So just a little family company doing our thing.
So moving away from the Kidman issue, but still staying with cash in farming, Australia's largest private feedlot is set to expand, and we have hinted at this earlier this year.
Australia's largest private feedlot is Morton Co, and they joined up with the Sydney firm Molus to raise $16 million. And what it's going to do is it's going to fund an expansion of the company's two feedlots in southern Queensland. Once this proposal goes through, it would mean they could feed about an extra 14,500 heads, and it's expected to take about 6 months to go through. It does come at a time, though, when margins are quite tight in the sector. We've heard a lot about the high cost of beef at the moment. It means that it is proving tough for a lot of processors out there. But Charlie Mort says that this does show a longer-term interest in the beef production sector.
It's difficult to raise money into agriculture, and so we're really pleased with the result. So, yeah, we're just looking forward to getting on and building. It'll allow us to build out extra space, both at Grassdale Feedlot and Pinegrove, as well as look for other opportunities.
Essentially, Edwina, it's all about rain, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
you need
it
rain to get grass around so that maybe the price of beef would come down a bit and ease that processor sector.
It's a very much a tale of two cities, isn't it? You've got the people growing the beef that are extremely happy about the high prices, but those prices are having real ramifications elsewhere in that industry.
That's right. So agricultural analysts have looked into the numbers, and Mercado is saying that the high cattle prices have forced major meatworks to cut their inputs by over 50%. And the industry is losing around $48 per head of cattle that were processed in March. It's been quite a long time coming. With no more follow-up rain, it doesn't seem to be an overly, I guess, buoyant time in the future going forward either. With all this doom and gloom that's in the space, market analyst Matt Dalgleish says really the sector needs greater transparency.
There's a a significant section of that kind of sale, I guess, that goes on that isn't reported on, certainly not to the depth that we're getting with the stats that come out MLA from the sale yard. And so that's the kind of information that we think would be very important to all market participants, and that's what we're kind of hoping to encourage this move towards greater transparency.
And a really interesting emerging industry for us, and a story that we'll end on, is the sort of evolution of medicinal cannabis in Australia.
Fascinating what happened in the recent weeks when Barnaby Joyce was filling in as the acting Prime Minister. He went to the launch of this farm that's set to be potentially Australia's first medicinal cannabis farm. Obviously, you can't do it at the moment because of legislation, but you're seeing that state and federal laws are looking to change what's happening. So this could be a future crop going forward. Quite funny, I guess, is that the word you'd use? There was an agronomist there, Edwina, who wouldn't give his name,
yes,
but had
yes,
essentially saying...
It's not often we do cloak and dagger in rural stories, is it?
It doesn't really happen too often. Mm. He essentially was saying that Australia's got great conditions to grow the whole range of varieties of medicinal cannabis, and that that's why, because you can grow it out in the open, and that there's a lot of scope and potential here in Australia.
Victoria, and they were going so far as to sort of say it's the holy grail. Every company in the world wants to come here and be a part of it.
And look, you don't say where, you're not allowed to say where the farm is. It's much like with the poppies, where it's behind locked gates and the locations are quite secretive. But, you know, you're seeing in the Victorian government is looking to legalise medicinal cannabis in treating patients. So it's obviously a sector that's going to grow into the future. You've seen cannabis more generally legalised in America, so, and the taxation benefits that come from that. I think this will be a fascinating debate. Obviously not one we'll have before the election.
No.
But longer term, it will be an interesting debate for farmers to look into.
It will indeed, and an interesting evolution for the animals that eat the crops too, apparently. Love that little bit in the story. You can find all those stories, including a really great explainer that lays out the vastness of the Kidman Empire and all of these financial transactions that are going on. Find them online at abc.net.au/rural.